In case you happen to miss the announcements before Mass began, this Tuesday, November 2nd, the Church celebrates the Great Feast of All Saints. Masses will be held here at Queen of All Saints at noon and at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, November 1st. Please keep in mind that All Saints Day is, of course, a holy day of obligation. The following day, Wednesday, November 2nd, we have the commemoration of All Souls. Remembering to pray for all the souls of the deceased to undergo their final purification in purgatory before their entrance into heaven. On November 2nd, we have Mass at noon and at 6 p.m. again. It's good for us to come on both days to glorify the saints and recall that we're called to follow in their footsteps as our elder brothers and sisters who have reached the kingdom. We pray for all souls who, again, cannot pray for themselves on their way to the kingdom, and we pray for them as they pray for us. That evening Mass on November 2nd is a special Mass of remembrance for all those who died in the past year and were buried through Our Lady Queen of All Saints Parish. So if that's your family, your loved ones, any friends of yours who lost someone in the past year or buried through Queen, that Mass will be for them. So please come to join them in prayer and encourage them to come as well. Next week we'll have the traditional blessing of the cemeteries, rosary, prayers for the departed, and blessing of tombs. Saturday afternoon of next week, we'll have the blessing of Gate of Heaven Cemetery behind church following the 4 p.m. Mass. Then on Sunday of next week, the blessing of the Timamu and Platan Cemeteries. Timamu will be having the prayers and blessing at 1 o'clock next Sunday, and then the Platan Cemetery at 2 o'clock next Sunday. Every Friday throughout the month of November, the way of the cross for the deceased is going to be prayed as a way of offering up prayer for the deceased. But please keep them in mind throughout the entire month of November to recall the dead. That's kind of a custom that for whatever reason has kind of fallen out of place, especially among young Catholics. You may have heard me say this before, but I noticed like in Mass intentions at 4 o'clock, where we tend to have a much older crowd, we have lots of Mass intentions. 8:30, which is kind of mixed, a little bit fewer, and the 10:30 Mass even fewer than that. And I'll put the blame where it belongs, on priests who simply make every funeral a canonization ceremony. Keep in mind that we do believe that, while it's true that none of us are perfect, when we die, only perfection enters into heaven, and that God in His mercy has allowed a state of purification for us in purgatory where our souls, and that's most of us, will end up before going into heaven. Those in purgatory cannot pray for themselves. They can pray for us. The bond of love is still there. There's no doubt about that. But they need our assistance in their purification. So we pray for them as they pray for us. And it's good to have masses and sacrifices offered on their behalf. It's a reminder, as I said, that we too will be counted among the faithful departed at some point and will be needing that prayer. Why? As grand as we think we can be sometimes, as beautiful as creation can be according to the hands of human beings, we can make some marvelous things. We have done some great things. We've had wonderful human achievement over the course of human history. But all of these things pale in comparison deeply when compared to the greatness and the majesty of God. Human beings, quite honestly, almost nothing before Him. As the Book of Wisdom reminds us, before the Lord, the whole universe is nothing but a grain from a balance. A drop of morning dew has come down upon the earth that evaporates instantaneously. God is God, we are not. God is infinite, we are finite. God is omnipotent, we can't do much. That's the reality of all things. As Jesus reminds me, apart from me, you can do nothing. But with me, He says, with me, all things are possible. Why? Does God need us? No. Does He want us? Yes, because He loves us. As wisdom continues, you have mercy on all because you can do all things. You even overlook people's sins to call them to repentance. For you love all the things that are and loathe nothing that you have made. You call us, little by little, to abandon our wickedness and to believe in you, O Lord. Why? Because you are our existence. You are the reason that we live and move and have being at all. And thus, as the responsorial psalm says, I praise you for this forever, my King and my God. All your works give you thanks, O Lord. Your faithful ones bless you. As I said, we are small, but God is great. He calls us, however, to use our free wills to make an effort to aspire to the greatness to which we are called. I mentioned All Saints Day, and the fact that we have a great devotion to the saints reminds us that we as Catholics, as the old saying goes, do indeed stand on the shoulders of giants. We look at these men and women, these heroic men and women of the past, who in their human weaknesses, but relying on the grace and strength of God, have done great and marvelous things, or better yet, allowed God himself to do great and marvelous things in and through them. And thus they become the giants upon whose shoulders we stand. Think of the apostles, for example. Those same apostles who fled when Christ was arrested, who hid while he was being crucified. Those cowards who suddenly, filled with the Holy Spirit, defied the Roman government and the opinions of human beings and preached the death and resurrection of Christ, most of whom were killed for it, but they did it nonetheless with conviction and courage. It's on their shoulders that we stand. The great martyrs who, following the example of the apostles, likewise lived and preached the gospel of Christ, even to the point of shedding their own blood. Young people, older people, men and women, believing in the truth and dying for it. Subsequent saints who overcame either their own human weaknesses or the weaknesses of others who tried to impede them, but still, filled with zeal, with faith and hope and love, continued to carry the gospel until today, over the past 2,000 years. And here we are. But again, Christ wants us. He meets us halfway, but he will not impose himself upon us. We have to freely seek him out. He's there. He seeks us, but he wants us to also seek him. He sees our earnestness, and he calls us into communion with himself, just as he did Zacchaeus in the gospel. Like Zacchaeus, we're short in stature. We're small. We ain't got much to give, but God himself does. But Zacchaeus had a desire. He wanted to see Christ. Why? Because he heard about him. He knew that his own life was not what it should have been, but he wanted to make restitution, and he was seeking out the only one that could give him peace and reconciliation, the one who could make his life what it should have been. And so Zacchaeus met Christ literally halfway, being a short person. But he sought Christ out. Christ saw his earnestness, and he tells him, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly. Today I must stay at your house. I want to come and be with you." He has gone to the house of a sinner. In Revelation, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand knocking at the door. If anyone hears me knocking and allows me in, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." It's not just a nice little meal we're talking about. The ancients understood that. That to give someone food is to give them life. Why? Because you had to work hard for the food that you ate that kept you alive. And to share food with someone else is basically, essentially, sharing your life. For two people to share a meal together is to share life together. Now we understand the Eucharist, right? Where we give ourselves completely, body, mind, and soul, to Christ, who in return gives himself to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And the two become as one, releasing us from our sinfulness and drawing us into everlasting life. That should fill us with deep desire. My brothers and sisters, we cannot, like so many others, fall into complacency, what St. Benedict calls soft living, the enemy of the soul. We sometimes think, well, I'm just good enough. We never are. Or I'm happy enough, we think we are. Or God loves me, so why do I have to be obedient to his laws and commands? He's going to save me anyway. Don't count on that. Again, he expects us to have free will and to want what he offers us. Complacency, as I said, that soft living, indeed the enemy of the soul. Christ is calling us to holiness, not to laziness. He is calling us to self-sacrifice, not to comfort. When we find ourselves getting lazy and comfortable and very self-satisfied, what does that lead to? The cynicism, the bitterness, and the pessimism of the world. We get cynical because we think, well, this is all that there is. We get bitter because we are angry that we're not being fulfilled by something. And thus we become pessimistic and angry if somebody tries to change our way of life, not realizing that calls us to do something different, to seek to do more out of love, to give more out of compassion. Quite simply, to love more, giving to others the love that we have received from Christ. To be more, allowing God, as I said, to work in us and through us. Standing on the shoulders of giants, we are called to be great, called to greatness in the kingdom of heaven. St. Paul reminds us that just as the saints pray for us in heaven, we pray for one another. Why? I'll say what he said. Brothers and sisters, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith. Every good purpose to which God has called us, every effort of faith that we put into practice. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, in accord with the grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek out and to save what was lost. May we strive to be more, strive to love more, strive to do more for Christ. Called to be great in the kingdom of heaven is to be less of ourselves and more like Christ.